Before we went to break, we had a trade proposed. LeBron James for Jalen Brunson, straight up. Happy birthday, WFAN. It's the only type of place you can get somebody to hold for an hour to be like, listen, I got an idea.
Bro, I mean, like, that one, too, it came out of his mouth, and I was like, what? I mean, immediately I'm sitting there, I'm going, what are you talking about? And, I mean, listen, to be fair, would the Lakers do it? Probably in a heartbeat. The Knicks should never be looking into that. And even if the trade, and I know you're going to get into this a little bit more throughout the hour here, but even if the trade was somebody else and picks or a couple of players to bring in LeBron, I don't agree with what he's saying in terms of they play the same position. They do the same things. They're both facilitators. They both need the ball in their hands. So from that perspective, I agree with him that they won't operate on the floor together. And the problem with Brunson is, in the way I look at it, and I said this earlier in the playoffs, and I'll give him credit, he's one of the very few guys who is able to do what he does in terms of carrying a team, like the way he does. But he is not ever, ever going to be able to work with a guy like Anthony Edwards. He's never going to be able to work with a guy like LeBron. He's just not that type of player. I don't want to say he can't play off the ball, but he is not good off the ball. He is good when he has the ball in his hands and he's able to do whatever he wants with his feet and use that motion to his best of his abilities. Outside of that, if he's sitting on the corner trying to shoot a three, I mean, I'll take it, but that's not his game, man. And yeah. I feel like that's going to be the biggest issue with finding that next guy with him. And you saw it with Kat this year.
And why try to change what... Listen.
Exactly. Just let him ride. He's good enough to do it.
You got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I've been screaming the writing is on the wall. The path is more clear than ever. The Pacers are cooked. Miles Turner's with the Bucks.
Ugh.
The Bucks are cooked. You know, we took the call about... I think it was John from Masbit talking about, wow, the Bucks are going to eat Damian Lillard's money. Yeah, the Milwaukee Bucks are waiving Damian Lillard and stretching the remaining $113 million on his contract in order to acquire Miles Turner. And supposedly this has upset Giannis, right? Giannis didn't like that. But, like, the whole reason he was there, Giannis, they got him a couple years back. It was, oh, look at this tandem. Who's going to stop Dame Time and the Greek Freak? And now Giannis is not pleased. Giannis, just demand the trade already. Are you can I interest the Knicks in a Giannis trade? They can't pull it off. They don't have anything.
Yeah.
They don't have anything to give.
From just that perspective, there's no chance.
We're past the draft here.
But I will say this. I don't like the trade at all if they did do it because again, Jalen Brunson is here. What does Jalen Brunson do best?
This is his team.
Yes, he shoots threes.
He's the captain of the team. He's the most favorite player on the team by far, and in this relevant era of the Knicks coming back to prominence, he is the face and the leader. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. 888-808-1019.
Operating in the mid-range with Jalen, it's not going to work.
No, and the next coach knows that. If it's Mike Brown, if it's, I don't know who else. I think it's leaning Mike Brown right now. We'll talk about that
as
well.
Taylor Jenkins, I don't know, bro.
I think Taylor Jenkins, they're getting him up out of there.
I hope so.
Ian Begley reporting. Shout out to Ian Begley. I heard him a little bit with BT earlier. The Knicks head coaching search is narrowed down to Pelicans assistant James Borrego and former Kings head coach Mike Brown. Mike Brown is a hard ass. Like, I was talking last night about all the videos circulating from the Kings practice of him yelling and screaming or him running. He's a hard ass. Is that going to work with this group? This is an established group of players. These guys are not rookies. They're not new to this. Like, is that going to work? Is he going to change up his coaching style? He's meeting with Dolan next. I don't know what his approach is going to be sitting with James Dolan either.
Well, that's a scarier scenario that you're painting right now. But I will say this for Mike James, and you mentioned it there. He is a hard ass. I think that'll be good for some guys on this team. I think, unfortunately, it won't be good for a guy like Kat. And you look at Sacramento and what they had when he was there. Those guys were young at one point. And then guess what? De'Aaron Fox became an all-star, a superstar. And what happened? He got called out after a game. And you know what? You know what, Mike Brown? I don't want to get called out after a game. So I'm going to the GMs. I know in Sacramento they're dumb enough to make that move. So they fire you. I mean, that's what can happen immediately here with Mike Brown. If Kat I mean, and I don't even, Brunson's not going to complain. Because I know Brunson's the type of dude that, yeah, he might have issues with it, but
he's
he'll
used
go
to
with it.
That's being just coached hard and understanding that, yeah. But here's the thing.
He's a coach's son.
Without a head coach, they are cooking right now. They did add Jordan Clarkson last night.
It's a good move.
He's a sixth man of the year. He's a guy that's going to come off the bench, score, get buckets. I was joking about how I know he's going to like New York. I happen to be in L.A. at Delilah, Drake's club, and when he came in with Kyler Murray when I was there, people were like, is that Kanye? It was not Kanye. It was I couldn't see Kyler Murray because he's all of 5'3", and his security, like you, all I saw was his security. But I saw Jordan Clarkson bop, and I'm like, oh, this guy's going to love New York. And that's why he's coming to New York with, I don't need to know who the coach is. How much? They're signing for the minimum. So Tommy Beer wrote, next season, the Knicks are paying Jordan Clarkson and Yershon Yabusele a combined total of $9.3 million. Both of those guys coming off the bench, assuming that they're bench pieces, plus. Like, you're starting to see the Knicks try to build out their roster to fit this modern-day NBA and have guys that can play minutes that are veterans, that are experienced. That, like, I just saw, I was looking online, too. Yabusele, his career high is 28 points. He can shoot a little bit. Like, this is a guy that's coming off the bench. No knock to Mitchell Robinson, even though his name did come up in some trade talks during the draft. Like, he's coming off the bench, and he could do a lot of different things. It's going to give the Knicks a different look. It's going to give them some versatility, and it's going to give their starters a break. So you're starting to see the writing on the wall even more so, right? The Pacers are cooked. They're done. The Celtics, Tatum is hurt, and they've already disbanded that team. The Cavaliers, I don't know, maybe LeBron wants to go to Cleveland and try that again for the third time. But if it's the Cleveland Cavaliers and the New York Knicks, this season the Knicks are going to be the favorites to come out of the East no matter who's coaching the team. Dawn Staley could coach the team. And they're going to be picked to do it because they have the players, they're building a deeper bench, and the whole thing is going to be we got rid of Tom Thibodeau, who historically ran his guys into the ground because we see ourselves getting to the end of the race in 2025, 2026, where this next head coach can't run our guys into the ground. I got to find the stat, but there was a stat about how many more games the Knicks starting five had played compared to the Pacers, compared to the Thunder, because of how much wear and tear and minutes that they put on their leg. Like, they stayed healthy this year, but no guarantee that happens next year. So you have to have a bench to keep everybody fresh and healthy for the championship run.
Yep, and even in the games where they are starting, so say, you know what, you can start a ton of games, but you need to have guys on the bench so that Mikal Bridges isn't playing 40 minutes every night. OG's not playing 40. You know, Brunson's going to play 40. But he can't do it every night.
No, and they shouldn't have to. When you're playing against the Washington Wizards, get them off the floor.
They shouldn't touch the court in the court.
They shouldn't even dress. They're in street clothes. And you should still be able to beat the Washington Wizards like that. 888-808-1019. It's funny because the call for the LeBron Brunson trade, the topic was, you know, Yanks potential moves. And I'm like, he didn't even say anything about the Yanks. Here's Steve in Rockland before we get these Knicks calls in here. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Keith. So here we go. And I did a little homework on this, okay? And it's a question for you because you already said you would not trade Dominguez. So Eugenio Suarez for third base would just solidify everything. You move Jazz to second. You let LeMahieu float, you know, whatever. Let him fill in. It solves a lot of problems. He's going to be 34 years old at the end of this month. He's going to be a free, and it's his walk year. He's going to be a free, so it's a rental.
I can't give them Jason Dominguez for a rental.
I know you're not going to, but. What Yankee treasure? Because you know Arizona's going to hold. You know we're going to hold the Yankees up, of course. And why wouldn't they? But what Yankee treasure would you surrender to solidify third base in that way? Because that would solve a lot of problems, man. For the second, you know, for the run, it would.
I don't know. I'm not moving off of George Lombard Jr. I'm not moving off of Spencer Jones. I'm not moving off of Jason Dominguez. If they want some pitching like a Ben Hess or a Chase Hampton, sure. Rock Reggio is down there kind of turning some heads. They want him. You know, they just sent Caleb Durbin packing. Rock Riggio is the next Caleb Durbin type. They can have him. But I look at the Yankees with Judge getting older in that outfield, with Trent Grisham, who's probably going to get paid somewhere else. Like, he's not going to be back next year because somebody's going to offer him more money than the Yankees should pay him. Belly could opt in. Like, you need to have an outfield. You need to, and Dominguez is just going to keep getting better, I believe, you know, in left field and also can play center field. He's a switch hitter. I think the more major league at bats he has, the more of a threat he's going to be. His power will come back. And they've worked so many years on the Martian and getting him up to this level to trade him now. Like, I think he's someone that can impact the rest of the season as we do push towards the postseason. I wouldn't be trading Jason Dominguez. Think about how many years they passed. Everybody was calling for Jason Dominguez. That was a non-starter. Thanks for the call, Steve. Eugenio Suarez sounds like a great idea, right? He hits for power. He's got high RBIs. Can play third base. But I don't think the Diamondbacks think that they're completely out of it. They made a run to the World Series 2 years ago. I think the Diamondbacks are probably going to hold you hostage. And Cashman's not going to get fleeced, Joe. I think last year when we were talking about the deadline, he didn't give up any of his top 10 prospects. You got to give up Augustin Ramirez, which, not for nothing, like Augustin Ramirez. I mean, if you have him, you don't have Jazz, but he's having a decent little year with the Marlins. And it's also the Marlins. Like, it's different playing for the Marlins than the Yankees. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Fingers crossed, man. I hope that they can get an actual third baseman. I think the priorities right now, you can live with Jazz at third base. You can live with DJ at second base, but it's going to cost you. And you're gonna have to overcome it. I would like to see them move Jazz back to second base. So priority one for me is a right-handed hitting third baseman. Priority number two is back end of the bullpen. Get some help. And not even back end. Get rid of Mark Leiter Jr. Get somebody that could come in the sixth inning, seventh inning. Like, we have Devin Williams, who you traded for. We have Luke Weaver, who was a Cashman find out of nowhere. Get those guys some help. Tim Hill is still here. Fernando Cruz could be back September, ready for October. But get us some guys that can get us through, you know, maybe even, you know, if Luis Gil can come back and be in the rotation, maybe Yarby can go to the bullpen. I don't know. They need to know. We don't need to know today. Let me get this last Yanks call in because here come the Knicks fans to talk about Jordan Clarkson and Gershon Yabusele and the bench being formed and them not having a coach and Mike Brown being the leading candidate and, you know, just the NBA taking shape right now and a clear path for the Knicks to be the favorite to come out of the East. Let's go to Chris in the Bronx before we do get to the Knicks. What's up, Chris? You're on the Fan.
Keith, how are you, man?
Good. How are you?
On a rainy night after two bad Yankees losses, I know I'm going to hear some crazy calls. So I said, do I want to listen to the radio or do I want to put on Keith? I'll put on Keith. So I hear we got to fire Cashman. We got to trade Dominguez. We got to bring in our closer in the sixth inning. And then while we're at it, let's just trade the best basketball player we've seen in New York since Patrick Ewing for a 75-year-old LeBron James in a walker. Yeah. What else can we throw at?
Tuesday.
I mean, what else do I got?
We're rolling.
And then I got to hear you drop a Mean Girls reference. Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
I'm glad you picked up on that.
You know what, though, Keith? You were right on the money. We don't got to do anything crazy. This is a first-place Yankees team. They're going to be fine. I agree with you. Get a third baseman. Stop putting Jazz there because he's good there, but he balls out at second base. Put him at second base. Let him rock. Get a third baseman. Get a little more help in the bullpen. We're going to be fine.
Simple as that. Thanks for the call, Chris. And ultimately, like, that's a good way to kind of put a cap on the Yankees conversation. They're losing right now, but if you make a trade for a third baseman, that's going to tighten up the defense. That's going to change the lineup. Just one guy you got to add. You've got enough outfielders. You need to add one guy in that infield. And then as far as behind the dish, I think you're fine there as well. I mean, Austin Wells got to figure it out. Well, not figure it out. Like, he's got the injury. But, even before the injury, he's got to figure it out at the plate. It's kind of crazy to think that this guy was batting cleanup, protecting Judge. Like, I don't know where that guy has gone this year. But also, now you have the threat of Ben Rice catching. Ben Rice is catching shutouts. Ben Rice is looking like, he actually was a catcher. Like, that is his true position. J.C. Escarra, it's kind of worn out for me. I'm just like, I don't need it. I don't need the catcher's interference. They're costly. It's like the worst possible time. That's the thing with the Yankees. They make these mistakes at the worst possible time. All right. That's it, though. Like, they're in a bad one. They'll probably mess around and lose the series to the Toronto Blue Jays. And then, you know, July, they'll limp through. And, I mean, I've kind of reserved my conversation around the Mets because, like, I don't want to lean into the Mets struggles. What if the Mets sweep the Yankees this weekend? Or take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees this weekend. Like, the Mets are in a great spot right now. Having 2 off days, obviously one scheduled off day, but now, you know, this game being postponed today, that's extra time to get off your feet. That's extra time to rest, to get treatment, extra time to clear your head, be with your family, your significant other, your dog, your cat, your kids, watch a movie, do something. You know, like, I think that they're going to come into this series with the Brewers. And they have a doubleheader. It's tough to win both in a doubleheader. So you kind of feel like they've got a chance to win one. You win the first one, you go after the second one, you're feeling great. And then the Subway Series being this holiday weekend, you know it's going to be turned up. Even though these teams are limping in, it's New York, New York. It's the Yankees versus the Mets. There's going to be good crowds there. There's going to be just a vibe and energy around the rivalry where hopefully both teams compete and we'll see what happens. And, you know, hopefully from there on, they can kind of right the ship. And going to the All-Star break, not limping into the All-Star break, but making you feel better about, okay, like they went through June, but June is over. Here's the break for, again, everybody to get a rest and then come out of the break and make the push towards the deadline and the postseason. 888-808-1019 as we transition to some of the Knicks conversation. I know Mario and Long Beach can do both. What's up, Mario? You're back on the Fan.
How you doing? Good show as always.
Thanks for calling. I'm good.
I got a real quick 15-second, a really funny thing that I saw on YouTube. This guy, Brian Scalabrine, I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah.
He was on the Celtics years ago. So he was basically, they used to laugh at him because statistically-wise, he was the worst player in the NBA. He was the 12th man on the bench. If you look down, he points, he averaged and everything. And they used to make fun of him. So now you know what he does? He goes, he's 42 years old, right? He goes around and he plays one-on-one with high school,
yeah,
great players and stuff. And he beats the hell out of them. And he's 42.
Yeah,
and
he's had a relationship with Cooper Flagg since Cooper Flagg was 13 or 14. He just popped up in like a an ad with Cooper Flagg. So yeah, he's around, and I seen the videos of him. Even Tom Thibodeau made a joke when they were playing against the Celtics. He said something along the lines like, "The worst thing the Celtics ever did was bringing that guy here."
Yeah. But just going to the Knicks now right now, because I know you're transitioning to them now, right? So, like you said, I like Clarkson a lot. He's going to be very good. And another thing he brings, like you said, scoring off the bench. Part of the problem they had is that really Brunson was the only one that could score off the dribble, you know? He created his own shot. Clarkson can create his own shot. That's going to help a lot, you know, without a doubt. That other guy, Abbasili, is an animal. He's like, I just looked him up, 6'8". And 265.
Yeah, he's a beast. French guy. He shot 38% from three, 59.8 field goal percentage. Like, he gets buckets too, and he's a big dude. So,
and you know what the most important thing is, Keith? The foul line, 72%. We can't have 40% like Mitchell Robinson. You can't have that because then you can't play the guy at the end.
Yeah, they might move Mitch. They might go ahead and move on from Mitch.
And I really think the NBA, I'll let you go with this. I think the NBA should do away with that. It doesn't really bode well for watching games intentionally fouling somebody because they can't shoot foul shots. It takes away from the game. You know, I don't think that should be allowed. Nice talking to you. Great show as always, buddy.
Thanks for the call. I mean, you can't. It's part of the game. You can't do away with it. It's a strategy. Not everybody deploys it, and it also doesn't work. Hit the foul shots, and it doesn't work. But yeah, I mean, the Knicks are cooking right now without a head coach. But I just feel like making the right decision on the head coach, like, you don't have to rush either. Like, I would need to talk. If the players all had meetings and weighed in on Tom Thibodeau and got him up out of the paint, fired him, basically, I need to talk to everybody about what they think about Mike Brown. I need to talk to every single one of these guys because that could be the only thing to sink the ship. If there's any friction between this team and Mike Brown and his style of coaching, like I said, how he's a hard ass, he likes to yell, and he's very, you know, animated, and that didn't necessarily work with the young guys in Sacramento. These aren't young guys. This team isn't young. This is a veteran team in their championship window. And, like, this next year is, like, this past year that we just went through with them losing to the Pacers, I would say that was year one. this next year is the real year, year two. And then the year after that's probably the last year. It's probably a 3-year window for the Knicks to get to the finals and win it before another team emerges out of the East. Like, there was some chatter about what the Atlanta Hawks have done. I don't really take them seriously. I mean, they've made some moves, and they obviously got there, you know, got to the Eastern Conference Finals a couple years back. But I wouldn't say they're a threat to the Knicks just, you know, because a couple moves that they made. You know, getting Luke Kennard, he's a shooter. Kristaps Porzingis. I don't know. I won't completely sleep on them. But I just think out of all of these years of the Knicks being bums, out of the recent years of the Knicks being relevant, this is the year where it's like, oh, yeah, makes sense. They're building out their bench. They're hiring a new coach. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And in this upcoming year, they're expected to get to the actual finals and win it. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Justin in Floral Park on the Fan next. What's up, Justin?
Keith, what's going on, brother?
Holding it down, you know. Moving off of some
happy,
of the Yankees.
Happy birthday to WFAN, man.
Yeah, crazy.
I wish them the happiest birthdays. But, Keith, as far as the Knicks go, I'm hearing it's Mike Brown. I really don't love it. I mean, I think it's a lateral move, honestly. I think it's another retread coach. There's no LeBron here. Okay, so what's his pedigree, this guy? I mean, let's be honest. He turned the Sacramento
experience.
Kings down a little bit. Yeah, but Thibodeau's got more experience.
Right.
Just because, you know, Bridges cried and Cat cried about playing so much. I mean, come on, man.
It is crazy to fire that man and potentially hire Mike Brown.
Yeah, exactly. And nothing against Mike Brown, but, dude, you've won nothing without LeBron James. And you didn't even win with LeBron. Okay, you went to a finals and got blown out.
It goes back to what everyone's saying. They didn't have a plan. You can't tell me that your plan was to fire Tibbs and arrive to Mike Brown, who was already unemployed.
What the plan was, Keith, and we talked weeks ago, was they wanted Jason Kidd, and Dallas laughed in their face. And then if they didn't get Jason Kidd, they were trying to get the guy from Houston, and Houston laughed in their face. So everybody hates the Knicks right now because what they did to Tibbs, and that's it. And listen, I like the moves. Jordan Clarkson is going to be a nice man off the bench. And I love this big guy that they got from Philly because when Embiid was out, this guy, no joke, scored between 15 and 20 points a game. He's a fan favorite. The fans are going to love him in the Garden. This guy's an animal. He's much better than Prince Achiuwa. So I like the move they're making. They're going to, you know, if Mike Brown is the coach, I hope he uses the bench. That's the one thing that Tibbs did not do, and that was the downfall. That's why Tibbs is on the unemployment list right now because he didn't use the bench. He was a stubborn mule. If he used the bench, you know, probably still coaching this team. But I do like the moves they're making, Keith. I just hate this apron thing. I'm so confused by it. I'm hearing they can't really do any more moves unless they trade one of those three guys. Can you explain, like, do the Knicks still have any moves left, or are they shot right now with these two moves?
They got to get crafty. I got to go look. Bobby Marks does a great job of putting exactly, you know, where the Knicks are, where all these teams are. I'll do that during the break. You know, what they've spent, what they can spend. I'll dig that up right now. I know I had some of it in my notes.
I had to, like, trade either Bridges,
which they're not doing,
or one other guy to, like, even make a move now because with the way this apron is set up. Because the Knicks, you know, are paying a lot of guys. Cat's making a lot of money, obviously. Brunson, you know, all these guys. So I'm just confused by it. I just wanted to see if you knew who and if they even had any moves left. And, Keith, do not discount, because everyone discounts his team. Don't discount the Detroit Pistons. Okay, they made a couple moves. And, you know, they're a young team, and they get the Knicks games, could easily have went 7. That Piston team is young and hungry.
Thanks for the call, Justin. I was laughing because Zoo took the words out of my head. Like, and now they're down Malik Beasley. They lost Tim Hardaway Jr. today, too. Their team's going to look different, and they're young, and they're not a threat to the Knicks. They were never a threat to the Knicks. You know, Cade Cunningham is a good player, but, like, are they going to... Just where they're going to be seated, I don't think you got to worry about that. Now, Fred Katz put out that the NBA has officially announced the salary cap for next season. It is $154,647,000. The first apron is $195.9. The second apron is $207.8. And I'll go get Bobby Marks' tweet about where the Knicks are in this offseason and what they can spend. And, you know, what they can do. You know, also with Mike Brown, and I just think it's like, we're going to hire the most experienced coach we can get. That's why we checked on all of these experienced coaches, because if you're experienced enough, you shouldn't be able to screw this up. That's why we're not going Johnny Bryant. That's why we're not going with the Pelicans assistant. Like, we're going to go with a coach that has, you know, been there, done that with NBA teams and coached in NBA games and there's going to be enough talent on this team. All we got to do is force his hand to play players off the bench, and we're going to be able to find our way to the NBA Finals. 888-808-1019. Taking your calls on the Knicks now. Still obviously taking calls on the Yankees. And at some point, we're going to play some Darren Waller beats. We're going to talk about Darren Waller. The Dolphins are active. And I got a take on the Dolphins. And, yeah, we'll talk some NFL as well. Keith McPherson on the Fan. This show is over in like 2.5 hours, something like that. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. The 38th birthday of WFAN, the most listened to sports talk radio station in the world. And Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, year 4 here, younger than the station. I wasn't alive when the station came about. I think that's a cool little nugget, though. I think that's a little bit of a flex. Like, yo, the station's older than I am. I think I'm the youngest full-time host. I think I might be. Yeah, but not by a lot. Only by like a year. And then, like, even, you know, guys that are hosts slash producers like Loogie and Morash and Big Mac, I think they're all, I think Morash is 38, 39, about to be. I think Loogie is 40, about to be. And I think Big Mac is about to be 41. What's funny is I thought I was older than all those guys when I came in here. And then I found out that I'm a little bit younger than them. It doesn't matter. They're not asking your age. The only time age comes up when it's like, I was a Yankee fan back in, Keith, did you happen to see the 1980? Nah, I didn't. I don't remember anything from the early 90s, really. I think from like 95 on. Maybe, I don't even count that. Like, I always talk about, I didn't see Donnie Baseball. That's one guy I would have loved to, like, at least recall watching a game where he stepped into the batter's box and did anything. But nope, just missed it. 96, I, like, was a young lad. But even back then, it's fuzzy, man. It's fuzzy. It's hard to recall. You know, and shout out to all the people here at WFAN behind the scenes all of these years. You know, something I've felt and noticed is, like, if you have been working in here for a long time, like Loogie, like Morash, like C-Mac, like Evan, like guys that have been in here for 15, 20 years, sports is your life every day. You don't miss anything because you're like, you're producing shows or you're listening to shows and like, I don't know, that's a lot. There was a lot of points in time. Like, I wasn't as tuned into sports. I was playing sports or I wasn't watching everything or I was in Virginia at school where we didn't get all the Yankee games. So it's interesting now. I make jokes online. Like today, my joke was like, I think I got to just get my CDL, hit the road, forget about all this, you know, watching the Yankee game. When you do radio every day, every night, and you got to watch the games and have some thoughts and like read articles and be prepared, like you're so deep in it. You're so entrenched in it. And it's a crazy job. It's a crazy experience. I'm blessed to be here at WFAN. I went to school for radio. And if there's one place that I was aiming to be, I always talk about having this keychain. I'm showing the live chat, the WFAN keychain. That this old-ass keychain, we got to bring these back. This old keychain has been on my keys since 2014. And I graduated 2011. And so I kind of lived the dream, right? Like, as people say, radio is changing and radio is dying. And I just was looking at a post on Instagram. If you go to my Instagram, Keith McPherson on Instagram, there's a post in my story about how $235 billion is going to creator-driven ad revenue, basically on TikTok and YouTube and social media. And what it says is that the forecast shows how much the creator economy has reshaped advertising and how traditional media like TV, print, and radio is going to take a back seat to social media. And that's crazy. Like, you, when I was going to school, you couldn't go to school to be an influencer, a creator, a YouTuber. And now that's the thing. So, you know, for WFAN to still be here and for us to have the Odyssey app, for us to have these digital channels, for us to even have, you know, different hosts like myself included with following across, you know, TikTok and YouTube and Instagram like that. That's how we stay current and stay relevant into the future. 888-808-1019. We were talking about money, right? We were talking about the Knicks. And I went to look up Bobby Marks and what he put out there. So I just was giving you the aprons and where the Knicks are. The Knicks' salary right now is at $204 million. So they're right at the second apron, which is $207.8 million. And that's including Jordan Clarkson. That's including Gershon Yabusele. So I'm not sure what exactly they can do next. or what they will do next, if they'll be able to shed some money, if they're trying to bring anybody else in. But really, they're trying to bring in the coach, right? They're trying to bring in the leader of the team. They've got plenty of talent. They've got plenty of guys with experience and guys that can get it done. And I think they're going to be the favorite to come out of the East. And that's why they probably feel like, hey, anybody can come in here with experience and do this, right? Can't wait to watch. Can't wait to watch, as I know the Net fans are lurking in the background saying, hey, this is where they crumble. This is where they fail. This is where they made it took it a step too far, made a bad decision, right? They kept tweaking and changing the team, got rid of Dante DiVincenzo, got rid of, got rid of RJ Barrett and IQ, and now they get rid of the coach. This is where they take a step back and they don't actually reach the finals. And I know the Net fans are feeling some type of way. They have their coach. Jordy Fernandez is the coach of the future. The rookies for the Brooklyn Nets were introduced today. And you got to take a look at these guys, and you got to look at the future. You know, a couple of these young guys that the Nets drafted have to make it. They absolutely have to figure it out and become, leading off with Yegor Demin, the point guard. And Jordy Fernandez talked about how they want to play fast and talked about how, they're looking for pace, and they feel like they have the fastest player in the draft. And he also talked about how he's going to run a lineup of 10 deep, 10 players, and these young guys will have to earn it. These young guys coming in will have to, earn their spots if they want playing time. So the Nets made the trade yesterday to get Cam Johnson out of here finally, and I celebrated it because Cam Johnson is a guy they had to trade who came over here with Mikal Bridges, and they were able to get a first-round pick. It's a 2032 first-round pick, but it's still an unprotected first-round pick for Cam Johnson. And then you get Michael Porter Jr., who's 2 years younger than him, who's a scorer, who's going to be immediately somebody that Nets fans can be a fan of. He's somebody that you can put in there that's going to wow the fans, going to be entertaining, going to be fun to watch. It's going to be interesting to see how things shake out with Cam Thomas and Nick Claxton and the rest of the group. Last thing on the Nets here, as I did have some people in the chat say, hey, what about the Nets? What about the Nets? Two solid moves for the Brooklyn Nets yesterday, bringing back Dayron Sharp and also bringing back Zaire Williams and not paying them anything. So Zaire Williams is a guy that they're going to pay 2 years, $12 million. I think you're going to see some growth out of him. He averaged 10 points, 4.3 rebounds. Chris Corino talked about how hard he plays the game. I think he's a Brooklyn grit guy. I think that's what they need to get back to, having gritty, scrappy players. And then Dayron Sharp, another homegrown Net that they drafted and developed. 2 years, $12 million for him. And, he's a guy that has seen the iterations of Ben Simmons and KD, Kyrie, and Harden. And I think now you're going to see a Brooklyn Nets team with some young guys that they drafted, they developed, and a head coach that's going to lead them into the future where they'll be competitive. But I don't know. I think they're going to be in between where ultimately they probably end up in the lottery again. If they don't stay healthy, they probably end up picking in, top picks again. But all right, now we're fully into the conversation around the Knicks. Nets fans weigh in as well. We're talking about who the next Knicks head coach will be. We're talking about where they are with the second apron after getting Jordan Clarkson and Gershon Yabusele and just kind of building out their bench and knowing that this is the year they're going to be favored to come out of the East. Eric is in Rivervale, New Jersey on the fan. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, Keith? How we doing, brother?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, great show as always, man. Thank you for taking the call. And yeah, I completely agree with what you and Big Zoo were talking about as far as the Knicks, man. I mean, they certainly seem to be favored coming out of the East. I don't have a whole lot of love for the Pistons, while I know many do, and what the Magic have done. They still seem to be pretty young, and the Hawks making some interesting moves. But I love what Rose has done with the roster. I mean, I think these moves for Clarkson and Yabusele are really good ones. I don't know, based on what you were just talking about with the apron, that there's a whole lot more that they can do unless they make some sort of, huge move, whether that's with OG or Mitch, which I don't really see. But what I can't quite understand is what in the world is going on with the coach. Like, bringing in makes no sense to me. Like, what they're doing makes no sense. Why they would fire Tibbs and then bring in somebody that's arguably more aggressive than Tibbs was. Like, he's harder on players you know, Mike Brown is than Thibodeau was. He has less experience, so it doesn't make any sense to me. And the only thing that sort of does still make sense to me is that Jason Kidd is still in the mix. Like, I have to believe that that is their hope, that there's some way that they can get Kidd out of Dallas.
So you think this is a smokescreen right now with Mike Brown? You think this is not real?
I don't think so. I think Leon Rose is too smart for that. It seems to me that it just doesn't make any sense. Like, it really doesn't.
I mean, no matter how smart Leon Rose is, I think a lot of us believe that this was ultimately a James Dolan decision. And so when James Dolan makes a decision, you know, you got to use your smarts to kind of work your way out of it. But you can only do so much. Like, Nico Harrison on draft night said, I thought I quieted all that down. Like, Jason Kidd will be the coach for us this upcoming year for the Mavs.
I tend to agree. But the only pushback I would have on that is that, well, then why haven't they given him a contract yet? They've actually, the only thing they've told him is that they're holding off until the season starts. If they wanted him that badly, then why wouldn't they just give him the extension now?
There's no rush.
Agreed, but there's no rush for the Knicks either. So that's why I feel like there's likely something happening where he is still a hopeful option. Whether or not that's real, I don't know, because I can't believe that Mike Brown is the option.
I understand. I hear you, Eric. Thanks for the call, but you know it happens, man. There are girls that they fall in love with a guy and they want to be with the guy, but you know what? They're married to some other guy and they just kind of settle and realize, hey, I can't be with him. I got to stay over here. This is the situation I'm in. I got a ring on my finger. I said I do. I'd love to go over there. I'd love to break this thing off, but I'm kind of binded here. And then as time goes by, that evaporates. As time goes on, you just kind of forget about that, right? That's where we are with Jason Kidd. I think we heard a lot of reports. I know I had Scoop B. Robinson on that Jason Kidd said he wants that job. You could want that job, but you already have a job. You already have a responsibility. You're under contract. The Mavs just had the number one pick. They have Cooper Flagg coming in. You know, Kyrie just redid his deal. They have Klay Thompson. They have Anthony Davis. They're going to compete and win. They're not trying to lose their head coach, a coach that brought them to the finals 2 years ago. And I think that, you know, their ownership, they have the money to pay him, but they don't have to pay him today. They might be looking at the Knicks like, yeah, keep playing games. Keep figuring out who you're going to get. And, you know, we'll keep the idea fresh that you might be able to, you know, I don't think they can pull him away. I also think Nico Harrison, after the whole Luka deal, the NBA bailed them out with the number one pick to get Cooper Flagg. Their fans would absolutely hate him if he allowed Jason Kidd to go to New York. Who's going to coach them? Who's going to coach the Mavericks? Mike Brown? They don't want Mike Brown. So, yeah, no, I just think that Mike Brown has defaulted. Wait, what a lucky guy. Just being available, being a head coach with experience, he has defaulted into a great job, being the head coach of the New York Knicks, a ready-made team with talent that just added more talent. A hungry team that the writing is on the wall. The East is wide open for them to make a run. He could be a championship head coach in year one of the NBA like we've seen a handful of other guys be. And if so, so be it. And you know what I think? Him coming into this situation, he's going to conform. He's going to do whatever Dolan and Leon Rose tell him to do. So, I mean, 2 hours ago, Mike Brown is now widely regarded as the favorite to be the Knicks head coach. It is what it is. This could be announced tonight. This could be announced tomorrow. It could be announced next week. I do think it's crazy to fire Tom Thibodeau and bring in Mike Brown, but that's just how the cookie crumbles. That's what you defaulted into. That you decided to enter that maze, and that maze led you to, we got to hire Mike Brown. We can't get Jason Kidd. We can't get Ime Udoka. Let's throw out there that we requested to interview Dawn Staley. But ultimately, Mike Brown is in the front of the race. He's got the lead right now to be the next head coach of the Knicks. And I don't think it's a coach that is going to make anybody do a backflip. I don't think you guys are going to be pouring up shots and toasting to Mike Brown. But I think he's a coach with experience that you're just going to be like, okay, he can do the job until he does it. And, you know, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see how that all unfolds. I think that is going to be it, right? If he fails, right, because the only thing is he's got to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and win. He's got to get to the finals. That's where the bar is set now. If he fails, then there's going to be a lot of Knicks fans. There's going to be a lot of Knicks haters and pundits that are going to say, see, you made the wrong move. You handed this guy the keys to, you know, the house that Tom Thibodeau built. And he came in and disrespected it, didn't know what to do in it, didn't know how to live in it, didn't know how to upkeep it, and you know, the house fell down. But I just, I don't know. In my heart of hearts, I just feel like this group is too experienced. This group is too good. And anybody with head coaching experience can come in and not screw this up. The players in the NBA a lot of times feel like they're the coaches. I don't know how many. Kyrie and KD felt like that. They thought they could do it with Steve Nash. But the difference between a Steve Nash and a Mike Brown, Steve Nash had no head coaching experience. Mike Brown has enough head coaching experience to steer the ship, to drive this Knicks vehicle where it needs to go. Shout out to my boy Dre right on it. He said, the kids in New York, Knicks is dead. I don't know why callers keep bringing it up. So Mavs film room has been all over this, and they put that Mark Stein is reporting that the Mavericks are expected to extend Jason Kidd before the season. He received an extension before the finals run last year. So if they're going to give him another extension, again, there's no timetable for it today. There's no rush today. And they're not worried about, oh, we got to extend this guy now or he's going to be the head coach of the New York Knicks. They have to allow that. He's under contract. He's the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, and they have a bright future ahead, and they need this guy to be their head coach that brings them to the promised land. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Avi and Jackson on the Fan as we get some more calls in. What's up, man? Avi! I don't know. We're getting to 10 o'clock. Sometimes I get these sleepy callers, man. They're on hold and going to sleep. Okay, well, I know this guy knows what to do. This will be the last call before we get to break. 888-808-1019. Yankee calls on the table. Knicks calls on the table. Brooklyn Nets calls on the table. Haven't really talked about the Mets, but we can get into the Mets in the next hour. Let's take this break right here. We have a couple calls. Gary and Waterbury, you were this close to getting on, but we're up against it already. It's just better to get to 10 o'clock, and then we've got 2 hours left. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to AM returns right after this.